Hello out there, and welcome to Work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back. It's Wednesday, March 19th, and today will be a mailbag episode where I look at a question from a member. So, from a post, March 7th, Hot House and the Mysterious Minor 2-5. There's a bunch of comments on this one. And one member, Tarkin Durham, is asking about the melodic minor. He says, the cadence trips me up. The cadence he's talking about is like a minor 2-5, 1 to C minor. Because it's resolving to C minor, which makes me think E flat. But there's an E natural on the F melodic minor. Regardless, it would be cool to see how you approach melodic minor through the context of a tune, either one of yours or a standard, or just generally how you would improvise with it. I guess you sort of did that here, but it would be cool to see a deeper dive on melodic minor in general. Okay, so let's do that. Now, I have a feeling this may be a one-question mailbag because this is a pretty big topic. But well, let's talk about melodic minor. What is it? What's melodic minor? What does that mean? It's minor, right? It's minor. So let's go to A minor. Here's a minor sound. 1, 2, flat, 3, 4, 5. And the melodic minor just has a natural 6 and a natural 7th. And this would be a fairly normal place to play it in. You know, like most scales, you want to sort of be able to play it in different positions and stuff like this. I generally play a melodic minor like from, I have like three different maybe positions to play it in. But for now, we'll just stick with this one right here. So I'm thinking of this. This is the sound I'm dealing with. It's like an A minor with a major 7th. And I'm playing it in the same place I would play like an A major scale, but I'm just making the 3rd flat instead of... So it's the exact same thing, except with just the minor 3rd, okay? Now, what's special about melodic minor? It's very melodic, right? It has a lot of, it has a really evocative sound to it. It has a lot of stuff it can do. It's very versatile and it's used a lot. But how is it used? I think that's the question, you know, how do you use this sound and how do you get the most out of it? And why is it useful? I mean, I think one of the reasons is because it has a lot of stuff in it, like has a couple different sounds in it. Like, for example, from this F sharp, G sharp, A, B, C, D, from there, that's all like a diminished scale, like a whole half sound, whole half, right? So it's got. It's got the sound of a diminished, this scale. But it doesn't continue the whole way, because it goes... Oh, sorry. It does another whole step there. And then check this out. So from the C, D, E, F sharp, G sharp, that's a whole tone scale. But it doesn't do the whole... that thing, it doesn't continue on that either. Because that would sound like this. So it has like a whole tone and a diminished scale kind of smushed together, and they overlap, right? Because the E and the F sharp are part of the whole tone scale, but then the F sharp and the G sharp are part of the whole tone scale, and the F sharp and G sharp are also part of the diminished scale. So that's part of the sound of it. And that's it makes it very useful for playing on like dominant chords and stuff like that, which I'll get into in a little bit. Let's get on the primary sound of this, which is like as a minor scale, as what it is. It's in this case A minor, okay? So why does it sound like more minor than a regular minor scale? To me, it sounds like even more minor. Like if you were in a song that's like a minor type of song, like Summertime. And I'm soloing it. To me, that sounds more minor than this. That's Dorian, right? And then another like diatonic type of minor would be like a natural minor scale, like Aeolian. With that flat six, you know. Those don't have as much of a... They don't put the minor thing at the center of the sound. Those are modes of a major scale, and they don't have the same sound. They're not really used so much as a tonic. And why is that? I don't know if I've ever tried to really explain. I don't really know. But I think what it is to me is that the melodic minor has the dominant in it. So if you're in a major scale, you have the dominant. The dominant chord is in the scale. Like E7 is in the scale of A major. If you're in a Dorian, you don't have that. If I'm playing A Dorian and I go to E, it's not dominant. It's another minor scale, right? It's a natural minor scale, Aeolian. So if I were to make that, if I wanted to have both of those sounds. This going between the dominant and the tonic, if I want to have both of those sounds in one scale, well, I have to have, like in that case, I have to have a leading tone. I have to have a G sharp in the scale. And that surrounds the root and gives it the feeling of being the tonic. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. Something like that tune, like Bebop, you know, Charlie Parker. Now, that's not so much, that's more, that scale has kind of a flat six in it. But still, the idea is the same, that you have the leading tone in it, and that gives you. That gives you the feeling that you're at rest, that you're at the tonic, you know. So if I play, I'll contrast it. I'll play a E7 to an A minor, and when I get to the A minor, I'll play like Dorian. Now I'll play a melodic minor. You know, I'll do it again. More simple. Difference. So even if I were to play something like a minor blues, if you listen to like Coltrane on like Mr. PC or something like that, when he's playing on the tonic, he's playing mostly melodic minor. He's not playing another thing because he wants to have this sound. I'm gonna stay in A minor, but let's say. So Oh, so I should have done that. So what I'm doing is when I'm on the one chord, I'm playing A melodic minor, and then I'm doing some kind of, then I'm doing turning that into some kind of dominant chord to go to the four chord, which I'm also playing as melodic minor. That's a, I don't know how to describe it, but to me it has a sound that's grounded. It's like, it feels like it's grounded and it's like firmly in place when you can surround the roots like that. Okay. What else about the melodic minor on a more abstract level? Well, let's see. One of this, probably the second most common usage of the melodic minor is like as a sound on a dominant chord. Okay, so let's say we're going to C major. Okay, let's go back to doing it like a 2-5-1 in C major. And the dominant chord is G7, right? Now, if you go back and look, there's a whole series I did called Symmetry, where I talk about all the minor six chords, right? And then this, again, gets back to the question of from the comment from the original thing that I started on, which is like, well, how does this work when you're talking about this minor four chord, right? Because when you go to C major or C minor, doesn't matter, you can also, instead of G7, you can use an F minor 6 as a dominant chord. And if you don't understand why F minor 6 is a dominant chord, go back to that series called Symmetry, and it's a big, long series that gets way into that. But basically, an F minor 6 is a type of dominant chord to C major or C minor. It's structured the exact same way, intervallically, as a dominant chord. Just going down is the same as, you know, in terms of the intervals. So the sound on this... And that's the sound. You could use a melodic minor sound on that minor four chord as well, you know, because that's the kind of the sound of a minor six. Whenever you hear a minor six chord, you know, you usually would play a melodic minor on that chord, not like a Dorian minor, you know. Think about this, the sound of this F minor six. I want... Even if it goes to minor. Here I'm actually going. I'm actually going from F melodic minor to C melodic minor. Oh, sorry. Seems weird to be playing an E natural in the key of C minor, but you know, it's a tension. It's a tension that resolves, you know, into, you know, it goes. It can resolve that way, you know. There's no reason why you can't do that. So, and then this, the logic of this extends to the other minor third distances away from that minor four chord. So again, if I'm playing 2-5-1 to C, you know, I'll play an actual figure. So here I'm playing, this is a melodic minor sound. So I'm playing from the major seventh to the triad and then up to the sixth. That definitely indicates that's melodic minor because there's a natural sixth, a natural seventh, and then the minor triad. Right. I could do it there as well. Now I'm thinking A flat melodic minor is going to C natural, right? And this is what some people would call this an altered scale, like Jazz Bros. This is like an altered scale. But really, it's just A flat minor six going to C major. You know, that's just one of the dominants that's available to you. But if you think about it in terms of G and what notes you're playing when you play an A flat melodic minor, well, you've got the root and then flat nine, sharp nine, the natural third, sharp 11, sharp five, the flat seven, you know, and then back to the root again. So you got all the good sounds. That's why you hear a lot of times, instead of, which is just diatonic, you could have. In those cases, I'm sticking that A flat melodic minor sound in the place of the G7, and using it that way. Again, you can use it. You can use a B melodic minor. You know, you can play it on there. You can play it. If you play D melodic minor, you're basically playing off a G7 with something like a sharp 11 sound. You know. Okay. So, as a tonic minor and as a sound to play on a dominant chord, those are probably the two most common uses of melodic minor. I also like to think about the different modes of melodic minor. There's a wonderful rag. Now, I'm not a big expert on Indian music, but I have studied it a little bit. And there's a rag called Charakeshi that's similar to the fifth mode of melodic minor. If we go back to A melodic minor, now let's say we put, focus it as being off of the fifth degree. You start off with kind of a major scale. You also have the flat seventh, so it sounds like E7, as I said before. The scale has E7 and the A minor, but the one note that's different from its being a straight kind of mixolydian is. Nice symmetrical kind of shape on the guitar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, flat 6, flat 7. Oh, sorry. One of my favorite places to play melodic minor. Look at this very nice shape. I'm playing up on the, what is this, the ninth fret, fourth string. 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2. And if you had the fourth finger, 1, 2, 4, 1, 3, 1, 2, 4. Fits very nice in the hand, okay? And then But the reason why I think this is very interesting from the fifth degree is also about symmetry. So did it occur to you that this is a symmetrical scale? It's not a symmetrical scale in the same way that like a whole tone scale is symmetrical all the way, you know, from one, any pitch, it's all symmetrical anywhere. But it's symmetrical in the same way that like a major scale is symmetrical. A major scale is symmetrical from, I'm hearing a strange sound. I hope it's not coming out on the recording. Okay, a major scale is symmetrical from the second degree, right? If you look at the piano keyboard and you look at the note D and you go intervallically out from D, it's the same intervals going in both directions. D to E is a whole step, then E to F is a half step. D to C is a whole step, and then C to B is a half step. And it continues on like that. It's symmetrical from the second degree. Melodic minor is symmetrical from the fifth degree, right? So let's take this E. I could do two whole steps coming off of it going up. I can also do two whole steps coming down. Right. Those are mirror image things. Now I put a half step on that. Right. Those are symmetrical. So I find it fun to practice a melody one way and then go the other way. Five notes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Another half step. Okay, so that's structurally very interesting, I think, you know, figuring out where a scale is symmetrical and then kind of thinking about it as going in two directions. It's kind of abstract, but I like it. Now, what about just exercise like, what do you get when you make triads out of the melodic minor? Diminished, minor, augmented, right? Major, diminished, minor, right? So it's an interesting pattern where has like every type of triad, major, minor, diminished, and augmented, but it just has one augmented, and it has two of each other one, and they're all next to each other. So it has augmented, then it has two majors, then it has two diminished, and then it has two minors. So what I mean by that is, like, here's augmented, major, diminished, minor, and back to augmented. Sorry. A little hard on this guitar to get that one. Augmented, minor, diminished, major, augmented, you know. That's a nice pattern. I'm just playing triads. So. Part of it is starting in this position, then once it gets out of that position, I'm walking up the neck. Here's an exercise. Oops, looks like my battery ran out. Give me one second here. Quick battery change, have a cup of coffee, have a sip of coffee. And I will. battery, and there we go. Okay, sorry about that. I don't know how long that was out for, but I'll do this again. Playing a five-note pattern, but I'm phrasing it in 30-second notes. Or I could do it in 16 notes, make it a little easier. Now what if I did it? I mean, it's easy to do in fives because that's where the pattern is. And so on. What if I did it in sixes? Or sevens? Kind of interesting. Or eights. Ah, shoot. Nines. So that's something that I like to do with patterns, is always break them up into different subdivisions for the beat, so you're not just playing patterns that are like landing on the beat, because those are so predictable. If I play it like, that's not so great, right? But if I did, I'll do that in triplets. Same pattern, just in triplets instead of in 16th notes, you know, and then it kind of moves across the beat, creates more interest. So, anyway, that's probably enough on melodic minor for now, but there's much more to explore with this scale, and I think, you know, it's a great sound. It's something that is just very, very useful. Very, very useful and very, very hip sounding. You know, I don't know a better word than that, but it's just a hip sound, and it's part of the language, especially the language of jazz. I mean, it's just really, really, really common to be used in cadences and in context of being in minor keys. All right, so thanks for the question. And that's it for today. All right. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and
and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk, as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar, and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.